Before we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 3rd of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Northern Power Women Podcast with me, your host Simone Roche. In this brand new season, which we are calling the Rise Up season, I will be talking to individuals that have been recognised over the past 5 years of the Northern Power Women Awards, which I created to encourage people to high-five each other and showcase role models from and across the North. Role models are absolutely in our DNA, and in the last 18 months has shown us it is even more important than ever to spotlight the amazing changemakers and trailblazers that we have up here. You've got until the 11th of October to submit your nomination for the largest award celebrating gender equality in Europe. And please do help showcase someone to rise up. And to celebrate the launch, I am super duper excited to be joined by a very special guest who, even as she continues to rise up, has found time to join us today, cuppa in hand, from her busy, busy schedule and very impressive studio. It's the founder and creative director of Crafters Companion, which is a global craft retailer with its UK HQ right up in the Northeast and a US head office over in California. The youngest ever dragon on Dragon's Den when she joined back in 2019, winner of this year's Northern Power Women Entrepreneur of the Year Award, and much more. Passionate about championing women in business, the benefits of mentoring, and of course, her wonderful Northeast roots. I'm of course talking to the ultimate Northern Power Woman, Sarah Davis, MBE. Welcome!
Simone, I don't know what to say after that. You've got me all blushing.
Do you know what? Last time we spoke was on the night of the awards back in March when we doorstepped you, didn't we?
What a night that was. I mean, you know, to be sat chatting away to all these women, to then win that award, and then 2 minutes later have a knock at the door, and someone actually hand me, it was just nice to see people in real life, to be honest, and then someone hand me an award was just absolutely off the chart. It was just what I think, just what I needed at that time, but just what I think loads of people needed for a pick-me-up at that time.
And there was something we were quite adamant about, was how do we get these beautiful works of art into the hands of our winners on that evening, and even better, we had some of the best pictures. We recorded a live podcast, and I think you had your slippers on by that point.
I did. I had my slippers on all night. Well, it was one of them Zoom calls. I thought no one's ever going to see me feet.
Well, you won the Outstanding Entrepreneur at the awards this year. What makes a great entrepreneur?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. And I think from my end, I always feel like when people ask me what is it that makes me different or stand out? I think it's tenacity. Tenacity, drive, passion, being really dynamic. I think when I look at other entrepreneurs, and ones in particular who've been really successful, they all seem to have that drive and tenacity running through their DNA.
And actually, you posted recently on LinkedIn about the support of a community of businesswomen in the North. And I think that was at the start of your funding and investment journey. Why was it important now to shout out for those women? I think Caroline Theobald was one of those who we talked about just before the recording.
Do you know, Caroline's been a huge inspiration in my business career, as have many women around the Northeast. And, you know, I first got to know Caroline and some of the other women in our region when I joined the Gabriel Investment Panel when I was actually in my early 20s. And for me at that time, I think I was always trying to fit in, and I was trying to be what I thought I needed to be, not being myself. And I think surrounding myself with other really powerful, strong women, successful entrepreneurs, as opposed to being surrounded by just successful men, it made me stop trying to be someone that I thought everyone expected me to be. And I looked at these women and thought, I want to be like those women. And do you know, that was such an instrumental turning point, I think, in my career, spending time with those other really high powered Northeast women. And so now I think it's, you know, 10 years on or whatever, I think if a lot of other women in our region look at me, I want them to feel empowered in the same way that I did back then.
And I think it's one of those, I always think it's we have a real responsibility to embrace ourselves as role models. You know, every single person is a role model to someone else. And again, the reason why we created the awards was to create, I wanted to create the biggest kind of noise about noisy Northern role models. And I wanted, yes. I didn't want anyone to ever look up and think that there wasn't somebody for them. So why do you think it's important to have awards, not just Northern Power Women, but wider awards? Why is it important to kind of recognize individuals? You've talked about the likes of those powerful women, but why is it important to rise other people up?
Yeah, so from my end, I think it's a British thing in particular. We don't celebrate success in the same way like the Americans would celebrate success. And then I think women in particular, we just kind of get on. We don't stop and take stock for a moment and celebrate that success. And I just think the, you know, the real boost it can give someone, even if it's not winning the award, but being nominated for an award, being put forward, somebody else stepping back and saying, I think you are outstanding at what you do, and I'm going to put you forward for something. Even if that person never wins, the mental impact it can have on them gives everyone such a boost. And it's just, it's shining a light on people who otherwise just go about doing their thing every day, don't expect anyone to notice. And how is everybody going to champion it? And how are they going to be role models if people like you don't come along and shine a light on them?
Do you know what? And I love you saying that, because that was the whole ethos why I wanted to do this. I remember on the very first year of the awards, I remember getting an email going, you know, I had to send those emails out to say, oh, God, amazing, you know, nomination. Sadly, you haven't been shortlisted on this occasion. And I got this email back from this lady who went, oh my God, I'm absolutely gutted. I'm so happy that you've created these, but is there anywhere that I could see my name? Because I've never had anything like this before. And it was from that one comment that in the brochures on a big kind of selfie wall, every single year now we put everyone's name, because it's to your point that you've just said, even having that nomination, it actually makes you, the fact that someone took the time to put their fingers to a keyboard, right? I think those small things can mean such an awful lot to people and boost that confidence.
Do you know, it does. And I remember the night of the awards. Obviously, it was all virtual this year. And I was in a room, which was like my little table, chatting with the other people at that table. And it was people from completely different walks of life to me. And I remember two of them in particular had been nominated by other people within their companies, and they were just beyond proud as punch. It did not matter what happened that night, whether they won or not. The fact that somebody had thought they were good enough to do this had absolutely, you could just see the chests puffed out, walked a little bit taller. And I thought, that's what it's all about tonight. Not just about the winners, about everybody who's been nominated.
100%. And I think this leads into Dragon's Den. You have been such a massive whirlwind of energy, and there's some brilliant dragons on there. I know Deborah Meaden was someone you particularly looked up to, but you've seen so many pitches, you've seen so many you know, businesses come into that room. What makes a good pitch and a great story to you?
Oh, do you know, it's interesting when you say great story. I'm definitely your product woman, and obviously because my background is very much TV shopping, what I've spent a lot of time doing is when they come through the elevator doors and they give us that pitch, if it is a product idea, I'm looking for, what is the story? What's the hook? How are we going to tell this story? And then more importantly, how good are they at being a storyteller? Because I think we emotionally buy into brands on a completely different level. And if they are, I mean, I just look at some of the investments I've done this last season. Peachy Lean was one, for example. Inspirational female entrepreneur from Ireland. She had a real story to tell as to why she'd done the business, the products that she developed were completely different. They were for women. They were addressing a need. And she was just a phenomenal storyteller and somebody you wanted to succeed. And I thought, if I feel like that about her, that's how the nation are going to feel. And I just know the night it aired, she had hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of orders, euros worth of orders in her case. It was just absolutely astronomical. But it's that mix of solving a problem with the product, but the entrepreneur being outstanding, having the drive and the tenacity that we've talked about.
And is that absolute balance between the business idea, that product, and that storytelling, isn't it? It's, you know, so yeah. what are the top three bits of advice you would put to someone who is putting together either a pitch, whether they're going for investment, whether they're on Dragon's Den, whether they're writing a proposal to a prospective client or within their company? What are those top three tips? That what's the Sarah Davis way?
I am more than happy to share the insider knowledge. So from my point of view is when I'm going into a pitch, and it's just the same, if I'm going into a pitch, you're coming to the Den, be confident. Don't BS, but be confident. Make sure you know your stuff and deliver it with conviction, whatever it is, because at the end of the day, we're buying into you as a person first and foremost, and then the business and the product secondary. And I want to see that you're confident in what you're doing. So confidence is the first one. Make sure you've researched and understood the market and also the competitive landscape. There's nothing worse than, I don't know your market and your industry, but if I can ask a question that seems like a common sense question that you haven't already thought of, if someone's, you know, we say, who's your biggest competitor? Or, and then someone says, oh, there's no competition to this. Rubbish. There's competition to everything. Might not be direct, but there's competition to everything. If you can't in that point demonstrate to me that you have a full understanding what all of the barriers to the success are, someone standing there blindly telling you, no, nobody's ever invented anything like this, this is going to be a huge success, just tells me you're delusional. Not that you've really reinvented the wheel. So make sure you understand the opportunity. And then also give them an offer they can't refuse. You know, I've had offers in the Den where people come in with an astronomical valuation for their business. You know, they only need 20, 30,000 pounds to get started, but they've asked for 100,000 and they only want to give away 5% of their business. And I look at their business and I think, your business is barely worth a couple hundred grand. So actually, you can't walk out of the Den with anything less than the 100,000. So I can't offer you anything less than half the business, because I'm valuing your business appropriately, and there's nowhere to go. Whereas if they only really needed 20 to 30 grand, they should have come in asking for that, and then they could have gone away, given away less of their business. So make me an offer that I can't refuse, and make it compelling enough that I want to be on that journey with you.
I can feel a whole range of merch out of that. Sorry, that feels like a whole load of slogans on t-shirts, doesn't it? Make me an offer I can't refuse. But I think that slices all ways, doesn't it? Like we said, so whether that is, you know, in front of, you know, on a TV stage, whether it be in going for a promotion even, if you like, or a new client, it all works the same, doesn't it? You know, I think that is so important. I think you talked about being confident as well. And I've over the years, I kind of got a bit drawn down a little bit with the whole, oh gosh, we always associate women with lack of confidence. And I'm not sure it's always that, but I definitely think there's bits of that, you know, and I think sometimes it can be historically tougher for women to be entrepreneurs, especially in that investment stage. Do you think that's still the case, and what can we do about it?
Yes, I would agree. And confidence is something, I find there's two sides to confidence. There's confidence that you're feeling and confidence that you're exuding. And actually, when I was younger, I wasn't the most confident person in the world, but I never, ever let it show. And to be honest, now I've reached the dizzy old heights of my mid-30s, and now I am confident. Now I go into a room and I think, this room's lucky to have me in it. Whereas I didn't used to think that. I used to have imposter syndrome all the time and think, oh, I shouldn't be here, I can't believe I've got here. But I never let that show. And I think it's the little tricks that you pick up along the way. So for me, it was a good pair of heels. Good pair of heels, I would stand taller, and it would give me the posture, and it would make me stand in a certain way. And maybe it was a couple of little body language tricks that I'd learned, or how I used to dress, whatever it is. Do the little tricks that are going to make you feel confident, so that you exude confidence that little bit more, because it is harder. And whether it's, you know, when I was growing up in business, I always felt like I was on the back foot because I was a woman, because I was from the north and I had this delightful accent and everyone knew exactly where I was from, because I was younger than everybody else, because I was in the craft industry. And immediately you talk to someone and they say, oh, what do you do? I say, well, you know, people who are into making handmade cards, and I would watch the eyes glaze over. So I always felt like whatever I was doing, I was setting off as the underdog on the back foot. And actually, it's a position of power to be on that back foot, to be from there, because then actually the winning, the achievement, whatever it is all the sweeter when you can prove other people wrong.
I think it's about being memorable as well, isn't it? It's because I started my career in the military, and there's certain things you think, oh gosh, no, I can't do that. That's clearly out of my boundaries. I'm a short northerner. You know what I mean? And it's that association. But you know, as a proud northerner, what makes the North so special for you? You've retained your headquarters in the northeast of the UK, but what makes the North so special?
It's the people. Honestly, it's the people. They are so warm, loving, supportive. You know, I go down to London and I get on the tube and I'm sitting down like I would if I was on the metro, and I try and chat away to people and people put their headphones in and look the other way. And I remember getting on the metro, you know, a couple of years ago now, and I'm chatting away to everybody on the metro, just like anybody else, you know, would be on there 20 minutes. And then as I got off at the other end, someone just said to me, I just want to say, we're so proud of you, you know. It's amazing what you're doing for this region. And I never in a million years thought anybody I was chatting to had any idea who I was, anything like that. And they hadn't treated me any differently, and I hadn't treated them any differently. But the northern people are so friendly. And I just think we get short shrift wherever we go. And a big passion of mine is creating employment in this area. And that is both, you know, championing jobs in the region. We you know, we have offices, as you said, in California. We have people work for us across Europe, across the US and Canada. But I have my main, I would say 80% of my staff are situated in the northeast of England here. And I'm servicing our global business from the northeast. We've had people relocate from the US, from Europe to the northeast. And I just think when people get here, they're like, oh my God, I can see why it's so amazing here. And it's just such a different feel. And I think that's what we need to shine a light on more and champion a little bit more.
Oh, 100%. And you know, your whole passion and energy about the North comes through. I love it when I go to London, I always make sure I've got a Northern Power Women badge on.
Nice.
Because then when you do start over chatting to people on the train, they look and they go, ah, now we get it. You're a Northerner.
You need to send me one of them badges. That's a good idea.
It's coming in the post, but it is. You almost see that dawning, that light go on. And you know what? Sorry, you are literally the ultimate Northern Power Women. When I knew that you had agreed to come on our Rise Up season, you know, you had to be the opening episode for us. I'm just so proud that you are such a fantastic inspiration in the North. What you're doing for the North, I thank you on behalf of everyone. Creating jobs, creating smiles, creating chat, creating energy. I thank you so much for joining us up on this special Rise Up special season as we launch the Northern Power Women Awards. Thank you so much, Sarah.
It's been wonderful. Hey, you can get me chatting about the North any day of the week. It's shutting me up again. That's always the problem.
Never, never. We always talk about keeping the conversation going. We'll put the link to nominate in the show notes. All you have to do is register a profile, pick the category you'd like to nominate in. You've got until the 11th of October to submit your nomination and make your mark on the Northern Power Women Awards. 2022 seems like forever. The Northern Power Awards is for all sectors, levels and all genders. And most definitely never just for one night, but about telling the amazing stories, including the ones we've heard today, in and from the North. Who's doing it? Who's doing those inspiring things, those purposeful things? Get those pictures together. Cut out the BS. Be confident and rise someone up. Thanks so much for joining us. Catch up on our socials, North Power Women and Northern Power Women on all our other socials. Drop us a line, podcast at Northern Power Women. I'm Simone Roche. You've been listening to the Northern Power Women podcast, a What Goes On Media production. Ooh.